Greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Brother Thomas was thinking about some of the same things that I was. Appreciated what he shared. This week is an established week that we call Thanksgiving. Our nation calls Thanksgiving. But as we see the ads and the way our society is gearing up, we really have to wonder how much Thanksgiving is really going to happen. We likely ourselves have this week planned. The die is cast. We're going here or we're going there, or this part of our family's coming to us, or there's probably plans that we made for Thanksgiving. How many of us made plans to give thanks? Instead of plans just for Thanksgiving, did we make plans to do Thanksgiving? Are we thinking about God's blessings? Are we thanking God already before the day even arrives? And are we going to continue thanking Him after the day has come and went? I believe that our Heavenly Father gets a satisfaction just like we earthly parents do when we see our children enjoying life and enjoying something that we provided for them, and you can just, they're just happy. The sounds are happy sounds, and we get a degree of thanks. They don't have to come and say thank you. We know they're thankful just because of the way they're going about life. And I believe God notices that in us as well, as we come together like this and we appreciate our church and we enjoy our brotherhood and we worship Him. But I believe God gets a, just like we parents do, there's something extra special when we do take time to just say thank you, God. It's a part of our worship. We likely have these things that we enjoy that are God's sacred gift to us, and we have to be very careful, or we can take them for granted and use them very selfishly. And God is just waiting for us to honor Him for what He's done. I'd like to think about two ditches briefly as we think of ingratitude. I invite you to turn to Luke 17, two very familiar accounts this morning. I'd like to read Luke 17. I'd like to read verses 15 to 19. Possibility that school teachers have read this past week is thinking about Thanksgiving. I don't know. But it's very familiar, the story of the lepers. And they were just super excited. They were just lost in the wonder of God's goodness to the point that they were just enjoying life and just the new freedom they had and the privilege to get back to their family. They just went for it. They had a self-focused happiness, I guess you could say. And let's read verse 15. And one of them, when they saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. He got an extra special blessing, I believe, in arresting himself and turning around and going back and loudly declaring thanks. Are we excited about declaring thanks this week? I'd like to now invite you to turn to Psalm 73. I read this passage this past week in my devotions and was arrested again by the life of the psalmist here. It's another ditch that we can become like the psalmist. He was, instead of being lost in the joy of the many things that God was blessing him with, he was lost in the gloom of difficult experiences because he saw what others had that was beyond his experience. And it took away his thanksgiving. It made him bitter at God. It made him angry. Thinking about he starts out here in verse 1. He says, truly God is good. I mean, he had a head knowledge, and he knew that God does look after those that have a clean heart and are endeavoring to. He understood that in his head, but then he saw these things happening around him that were different than what he was experiencing, and somehow his head knowledge got lost in a swirl of thoughts that took him to places that his mind should not have went. And it turned away any gratitude that he had for what God was doing. And he admits that it was jealousy on his part that took away his gratitude. He was not looking through a lens of faith in a God that does not change, in a God that is not finished with all the experiences of man that he saw happening. I'd like to break in at verse 16 and just read when he came to the end of himself, when he went to the right source. Verse 16, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. I'm sorry, I got those verses reinserted here. Verse 22. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they are far from thee. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all of them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Excuse me. Each of us lives life in a relatively close geographical area, but each of us is facing a very unique set of circumstances that is composed of joys and sorrows, composed of easy and hard, composed of sunshine and rain, has some variables and unknowns that we can't see the end and know how it's all going to work out, and be assured in our mind momentarily that it'll work out the way we hoped. We all have different vantage points, and we have these things that we can churn and ponder and cause us to put them on our worry list, and we start facing life a bit gloomy. Or we can put them on our thanksgiving list and know that God is in it, and God is going to get glory and thank him. What is on your thanksgiving list? A lot of people are worried about making a Christmas list. They're worried about Good Friday or Black Friday. They're worried about getting that show on the road. I wonder how many of us took time to get our Thanksgiving list together. The things that happened out of the ordinary that deserve special recognition of Thanksgiving this year. Or what happened that we classify as ordinary that we barely noticed again this year, but God deserves thanks. It was another year of God's faithfulness. Things that were just there again this year in an unassuming way, and if we didn't have them, it would be awful. It would be difficult. But God, again, just blessed us. What things are we forgetting that God should get glory for? I did a little grocery pickup for my wife at Dutchway late one evening this week. And the store was very quiet. The store was winding down. My list was small, and I was not hurrying. But as I made my way down the necessary aisles and circled down the last refrigerated aisle before the deli and walked past all the things that you could grab there that are just ready to eat and take home and serve, and then there was a deli and pastries were lined up in front, and I thought of all where I had walked already, and it just hit me. All the aisles of food that I just passed by. It was almost an overwhelming observation of the country that we live in and the goodness that we have and how good God has been in providing us. You know, we take it for granted. We just expect the store shelves are going to be full. Unless they're calling for snow, then everybody's going to clean out the bread and the milk and a few things like that. But we don't expect the shelves to be empty when we go to the store. We expect to go with our list and get most or all of what is on it. Maybe if we go to Hornings, we'll have to go to Dutch Way too. But, you know, the food is going to be there. We don't worry about that. I never worried about that all my life. I was never worried about whether what I'm going to eat the next day. But it hit me that, you know, there would be people in this world that if they would have walked with me through Dutch Way that night, they would have been wide-eyed. And not only that, but they wouldn't have had a penny to even buy anything that we walked past. And then I narrowed my thoughts down just a little further and thought about, you know, very likely within a block or two of this church building, there are people that are wondering how they're going to get the food for the next month, maybe even the next day. Life's experiences are very varied, even in America. There are couples that rejoiced this year and are thankful for the newborn they prayed for that arrived safely in their home. I became grandpa 3 times this year. But I know why I became grandpa 3 times. There are possibly grandpas that were praying along with their families that their children could conceive, and their daughter, one test after the other, came back negative. And these things can be unsettling if we're not careful. And we can become like the psalmist. Why did God take me through this experience? There are people this year who walked agilely all year with vigor and whim and maybe even ran a couple 5Ks and very likely maybe even went to the gyms and did workouts. And there are also people who this past year maybe declined in mobility, maybe completely lost mobility through a tragic experience or some failing health. Can the one people group have Thanksgiving this year, but the other people group, there's nothing to really be thankful for? There are people who went throughout the day this year with almost no pain anywhere in their body. And there are likely people who went to bed and woke up with a migraine and tried to function sleep-deprived and exhausted and dragged themselves through the day with hardly enough pain management available to keep life bearable. Do they have anything to be thankful for? There are people who this past year went to bed practically every night and slept quite well in the security of a country that is at peace. And there are people this year who went to bed and under the almost constant rumble of war and a fear of which bomb is going to reach their village when the sirens went off and the aircraft flew overhead. And their hearts pounded and raced, and they're so tired of it, and they're so ready for this war to be over. Life just doesn't seem fair, does it? Where are we at in this grand scale of happenings in life, in our life? I remember Louis Sammers, a Polish man that we used to visit in visitation efforts here in town. Poland was at war, and he told the story about his wife and children. They were trying to brave home life without him. And one day, his wife, she took her children. The bombers were flying overhead. They had a track that they were flying on, and underneath was an open field. And one day, she was so exhausted from the fear and the terror of war that she gathered her children together and she took them on a walk, and she went out and sat right in the middle of the field where the bombers flew overhead, and she was just hoping that they would take her and her family out altogether. She was so weary of war. We can't relate to that. If we would have lived through an experience like that, would we have a different posture to our Thanksgiving this week than the way we were able to live? What if we were rescued, like Louis was, by a foreign entity and whisked off to safety in America through the Catholic Church? He said they made provision for him to escape that horror and come to America. Would our Thanksgiving feel any different if we were redeemed from something very tangible like that? Would our Thanksgiving be different this morning? Well, Louis was a very inspirational person to me when we went to visit him. And as a young father, there was one visit that was rather impactful and riveting to me, and I shared it here before. But there's always new ones coming, and I decided to bring along what Louis talked about that impacted me. Those of you in the back can't make this out. These are two potatoes. Potatoes. We can go to Dutch Way, and we can probably get these relatively cheap. But to Louis, these were very big assets. If you had a potato, you had something. And one thing that impacted me is when he would see refugees that he knew were from Poland that somehow made it to America as well. He said, I would walk up to them and he'd get their information and exchange names. And he says, I would tell them, I have potato, you have potato. I have potato, you have potato. He was so thankful to have food, and he was going to be sure that if he has food, his friends that went through the same experience he did are going to have food as well. And that has followed me through life. I can still hear his Polish voice, Polish accent, I have potato, you have potato. I'd like to impress us with that this morning. Thanksgiving translates into thanks living, as Thomas shared. We need to be thankful to God for his blessings and notice them and recognize them. And for Louis, his house was small, but it was very accommodating. And as I recall, we usually visited right inside the front door at the little kitchen table, and kitchen was right behind us. But in that small house, there was an artesian well of gratitude, and it just came out of him when he talked. He was so thankful for America. He was so thankful for the people that helped him to have what he had. He had a posture of heart that influenced how he lived so that he could pass it on and help others. The title of my message this morning is Postures of Gratitude. Postures of gratitude. Teachers work on physical posture sometimes. They see students slouching and just came in from recess and they're not in the work mode yet. And sometimes they say, all right, sit up, put your feet in front of you, get your whatever books out. They want a change of posture. They want something to happen that inspires readiness for the next event. My hope is to inspire just a little bit this morning and cause us to just sit up in our seat and put on a dynamic posture towards God's goodness all around us, waiting for our participation, waiting for our thanksgiving, waiting for our distribution, and help each other to a posture of gratitude if we're not there yet, or help us to stay in a posture of gratitude if we are there already. A renewed determination to look at the potato we have in our hand, whether God has given us a big potato and lots of responsibility, or whether God has given us a smaller potato but still a lot of responsibility. God wants us to deal with the potatoes that he has given to us, whatever size of potato that is. We are responsible for what God has endowed to us, responsible to recognize it and give glory to him for it and pass it on. When I'm thinking of postures of gratitude, I'm thinking of that thought process and actions that spill over into a verbal thanks to God, but also into a heart of gratitude that is genuine and beyond lip service. Thanksgiving is not just putting our potato in the damp cellar and slamming the door shut and saying, "Thank you, God, for my potato," like our children do with their gifts sometimes. They are very joyful, but they're very protective, and their brothers and sisters don't play with it, and that brings problems. We let our gifts posture our heart that it creates opportunity to use the gifts that God has given to us to help others spiritually and physically on their journeys. Number one, I have a postured heart starts by recognizing the value of the potato in our hand. It starts by recognizing the value of the potato in our hand. And I'm not sure if I even have a number two. My notes became sort of a ramble from here on. But I think this is so imperative that we recognize the value of what God has given to us here this morning at Elm Street. All God's blessings to us are significant, no matter the size. And I'll be honest, as a young father, when I heard Louis Sammers, in all the sincerity he could muster, talk about how he offered a potato to his friend that came to U.S., I must confess, inside, I was smiling. I hope I wasn't smiling on the outside, but inside, I was like, Louis, this is the U.S. A potato? Seriously? Maybe a bag of chips, maybe French fries, but Louis, a potato. You know, we can get to this place in our mind where the blessings are all around us, but unless they're packaged this way, we don't even notice them. We don't appreciate them. We take them for granted. If my grandma would have given me a potato for Christmas, she maybe may as well have given me a lump of coal. I mean, a potato doesn't do much for a young child. We are not going to enter into a posture of thanksgiving until we let it grip our hearts and establish in our mind the value of the smallest routine gifts that God has given us. It was already talked about, the fact that our heart is beating and the fact that we wake up in the morning and God just blesses us daily and we take it for granted. But I'd like to start with a really big one, if I may. One thing that I know I take for granted, and that is this Bible in my hand. And here at Elm Street, we all have Bibles in our hands, at least I hope we do. Do we realize, do we appreciate what this Bible has done for us? Yesterday, I had the privilege, one of my children invited us to go along to Philadelphia for a little day trip. Part of the excursion, we were on the subway. And right inside, we stopped at the one station, and a man got on and slumped down on the floor right inside the door. The door went shut, and he was just on a heap on the floor. And I didn't even notice him at first. He slid on so quickly and was on it in a heap so quickly, I didn't even realize he was on. After a while, I saw another man. He said, he reached down to this man and tried to wake him up. He said, this is whatever station number. He said, do you want to get off here? And he lifted his head a little bit, and it soon slumped down again, just totally drugged out. And I watched that man. I got off, and he was still sitting there slumped out. I don't know how he knew when he was going to be at the right station. But I admired that. I'd like to believe he was a Christian man that was trying to show a little concern for this man that made awful choices in life and tried to help him on his way. But brethren and sisters, that man very likely he didn't have one of these in his hand. He had a different set of circumstances, very likely, than what we did that took him where it did in life. But a Bible in hand, in a country where we can talk about it freely, and we can come and gather at a place like this and encourage ourselves in the Lord, and lift our spirits collectively, we are blessed. We are blessed. Is God going to get any thanks for that this year? A posture of gratitude will not let us care so little we forget to bring our Bible along to church. Or God forbid we care so little that we intentionally left it at home. A posture of gratitude is going to not only thank God, but it's going to make this word become active in our hearts and in our lives. And we're going to get it out, and we're going to read it for our devotions, and we're going to say, God, I need this. Thank you for this. I need it. I need this to go with me today. Give me some inspiration from your word. I was blessed again in teaching instruction class, lesson one. Salvation, God's part and man's part. It's routine. I've taught it I don't know how many times by now. It's more or less doctrinal. And I told Logan this is not the most exciting subject. But the more I thought about it, the more it became the most exciting subject. God saved me, and Jesus died for me, and Jesus is now in heaven interceding for me so that I can with full assurance stand before God, because Jesus, he took care of whatever I didn't realize that I needed to take care of. He interceded for me as I walked this earth life in all my fumbleness and all my messiness. When was the last time we verbalized thanks to God for saving a wretch like us? You know, I looked at that man on the subway. Okay, I'll be honest, with some disgust. But then I had to wonder, how did God look at Howard? How does God look at Howard? With all he knows how to do good and the things that he does, how does God look at us? With the knowledge we have, are we walking in his will? Are we thanking him for what our parents taught us and the blessings that came along with all he has gifted us and where we grew up and the Bible in our hands from little on up? Are we thankful for God's mercy that he didn't call us out when we did flub up and we weren't living according to his will? When was the last time you thanked Jesus for his intercessory work in your life? And thank the Holy Spirit for the conviction that came into your heart that you could make it right. Something right that you did wrong. When was the last time you thanked the Father in heaven for giving up his Son and sending his Son, not only to die on the cross, but to become a public servant? Jesus is a public servant ever since. He's interceding. He's busy for us because God gave him up way back there. I have one son, but I think even if I'd have 10, I don't know of anything that could happen that I would be willing to say to somebody, go ahead and kill my son so that life can be better for you. That'd be a really hard thing for me to say. But God did that for us, his only son. His only son. But the struggle to give thanks at times is real. What do we do about the hard experiences of life? God's salvation, God's mercy is all equally attainable. But what about the things that Gerald talked about in devotions last Sunday when it seems like life is, circumstances just have one difficult aspect after another? And it seems like it's disproportionate maybe in how all the blessings are endowed. It feels like maybe some have a potato this size that we really wish for and ours is only this size. What do we do about all that? When we're trying to make the ends meet and we're trying to stretch out what resources we have, and God is bringing, seemingly allowing some experiences in our life that are costly, and there will always be hard things in life and things we wish could be different, even for the Christian. But gratitude is ultimately anchored in what Christ has done and what value we put on it. That's where gratitude is anchored. A posture of gratitude is not anchored in our ups and down emotions. It's not anchored in comparing ourselves among ourselves as it relates to these earthly things. You know, you can take it as far as you want. There are millionaires and billionaires the whole way up to Elon Musk that all can look ahead and say, but I'm not blessed as many as he. I guess Elon's still the richest man, I don't know. But you know, that's an endless cycle that we can go on. Or we can thank God for our potato and say, thank you, Lord, for how you bless me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, that even if this condition takes my life, I can be with you. Thank you, Lord, for your provision for me. A posture of gratitude will arrest the fickle emotions and sit up squarely in the school of life to see what teacher God wants us to learn from our experiences. A posture of gratitude will search for something meaningful in the midst of our experiences. A posture of gratitude will arrest and intercept the anger that wants to well up in our hearts towards, well, even towards God, if we want to be honest, at moments. A posture of gratitude will intercept the wound from a friend and open up ways to process the experience through a lens of gratitude. The psalmist found peace in his pain when he went to God's house. When he allowed God to do an x-ray and see what all's going on inside there, he found peace. About 8 years ago, I had a serious knee injury with an infection, and I was in and out of Hershey, and they were doing what all they could to try and avoid an amputation. And I remember what the doctor said at discharge. It followed me because I didn't look forward to it, but he says, you're very likely a candidate for an early knee replacement down the road. And that followed me, and I was blessed, a relatively small level of discomfort for many years since. But recently that was changing, and my first thoughts were, well, maybe the doctor's predictions are coming true, and I didn't really like that possibility. So I went to the chiropractor. And I told them all about my knee and how the accident happened. And they said, well, they start with x-rays. And, well, yeah, I expected that. That's why I was there. I read that online that they do. I had another chiropractor didn't want to touch me because he didn't do x-rays. But I just expected that they were going to take an x-ray of my knee and so they know where to press that they don't make anything worse. And But they asked me to stand in front of the x-ray machine, and they put it right here. I figured, oh, okay, they're just starting there, and then the next they'll go down to my knee. But they went no farther. And I was like, wow, okay. They started doing their adjustment, and I eventually quizzed them. I said, you didn't take an x-ray of my knee? And they said this, something to the effect that they believe that, they believe that our body is a network of nerves that all go through the spine. They all go down, and you got to start at the top and work your way down. That usually the where you feel the pain is only a symptom of something that's happening upstream. This was the gist of what they said. And I had to think about that as I thought about the pain we feel in life and how it tends to take us places. Our ingratitude, our grumpiness, our right to feel angry. Our pain is not the source of our ingratitude. It's only a sign of a heart that's not staying in tune with God close enough. When the pain surfaces, that means there's something upstream that is not staying where it needs to be. A posture of gratitude is born out of reflection of who God is in spite of our circumstances. God deserves thanks for his unchanging character. As Christians, we can trace back to God's unchanging character. That's what the psalmist did when he realized that these things that seem to be disproportional, God isn't finished yet. He came back to God's unchanging character. God, it seems like they're getting away with things now, but finally God's not done, and he's at a better place than they are. He got his head back on right again when he went to the house of God. But as we go through life, we touch all these pain points and these things that feel so difficult, and we can get disoriented just like he did if we're not careful. The size potato is no indicator of God's level of love to us compared to others. It's just that God calls each of us through different journeys and different ways of sacrificing and bringing glory, and just like he did the children of Israel. I don't wonder, why didn't he take them through at low tide? Why did he wait till the floods to take them into their final? Why didn't he at least make that last leg of the journey more convenient for them? Well, he got glory. He wanted to set up a memorial. He wanted to do things so the next generation is going to get glory. His love, his faithfulness, his mercy, his presence, it's an unchanging thing no matter what we're going through, because he loves us. What we're going through does not mean he doesn't love us, that he has changed. He loves us as much as the day he saved us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 says, "For this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Even if our physical realities are not what we wish, there are eternal realities that are as sure can be. And we can be thankful for that. We can rejoice in that. We can bank on it." A posture of thanksgiving is sometimes born out of an act of faith. Just like that school student that does not feel like doing what the teacher just said, there may be times that maybe even our thanks feels a bit mandatory. We don't feel the warm and fuzzies. We don't feel the desire to give thanks. We do it mechanically because we know we should or we're told to. But faith-born thanksgiving is not denial of pain. It's not a lie. It is a voluntary acknowledgement to our trust in God's sovereignty and goodness, in spite of maybe how weary our body is and our emotions are at the moment. I'd like to just close with a few practical thanksgiving exercises that we can use no matter what we're experiencing, the good or the bad, or the perceived bad. One of the big things we all struggle with sometimes is thankfulness for all the people that God has placed in our life for our good. seems like somehow or other, interpersonal relationships and getting along with people is one of the big things that an employer will tell you that. HR is one of the best paid people in organizations because it's hard work. People are people, and we get into ingratitude with who we have to deal with and work with sometimes. I recently was struggling with the way those around me were processing life, and I'm continuing to grow in my awareness that I can't control everything and everybody to help shape life and to make it fit my fancy and the way I would like it to look. I'm increasingly aware of that. We live and work with people who think differently than us. We worship with people who think differently than us. And if we don't lean into a posture of gratitude for everybody that God has graced our lives with and believe that God is working through them for our good in all their unpolished ways, maybe at times, if we can't come to grips with that, we're setting ourselves up for a rough road of ingratitude, aren't we? The Bible says that the rough road of ingratitude turns into a hard paved road of bitterness the longer life goes on. And some people unfortunately die never getting off the road of bitterness. We never learn to be grateful for God's work in our life and the people that He has graced us with to help us on our way. I have a goal this year to start a prayer habit, and that I call it one thing today. One thing today prayer. A prayer of gratitude habit for whether it's a painful thing or a happy thing that I can give to God for today. I'd like to try and do that this year. I'd like to see what my list looks like to the end of the year. Each day I want to journal one thing, small or large, easy or hard, something that I verbalize to God to counter ingratitude that wants to come into my life for whatever I may be facing. Some of you older ones heard me tell the Nick story before, and I'm going to just say it again. Nick was a man who would always ask me what I had for supper last night whenever he called me for business, and he wanted a serious answer. And I was one who enjoyed my food, but I got on to the next thing, and I didn't really think much about what I ate. But Nick was one who trained me because I knew that possibly tomorrow Nick was going to call and say, "What did you have for supper last night?" And if I didn't have an answer for him, he almost he almost considered me I don't know what. But I learned not to just inhale my food, but to be aware and notice it and consider it a blessing. God wants the same from us as we move about life. He wants us to notice His blessings to us. Another good exercise is for every ingratitude we encounter to have a "but God" that we put with it. You know, Joseph did that. He's an example of that. He said, "You brothers, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." He kept God in the right perspective in what he was experiencing in life. We can rightly acknowledge our hurt. We can even state our perceived reason for our hurt. We can acknowledge how much it hurts. But in the end, we want to end with some kind of "but God." "But God, I know you are with me through this experience. I know you want me to grow through this experience." And we can name the disappointment. We can name the fear. We can name the person that we're struggling to love or whatever it is. But then we can put our feet under our desk and we can sit up and say, "But God, I trust you. I trust you in this." Let's do what it takes to find peace in our heart with the wars in our soul and find God's potato, whatever size He has gifted to us, and say, "Thank you, God, for my potato." And then go forward and say, "If I have potato, you have potato." And tell the world about Jesus so that there can be one less person climbing that subway and slump in right inside the door because he never heard about Jesus. And share our resources with others because God has blessed us Shall we kneel for a word of prayer?